Good morning. It's good to see everyone out. We appreciate your attendance here. We have a lot of visitors. We certainly appreciate you being here. I think this is the first time I've spoken since this new podium's here. Do I make this thing look small? Because it feels really small. I love that song, Thank You, Lord. Thank you. I've been thinking a lot about that recently. Kathy and I have been discussing this recently, and I love to get thank you letters. I love to tell people thank you. Although I get letters, I'm not good at writing letters, and I don't write much thank you letters. So part of this sermon this morning is from me to you, the congregation, thank you. And you'll understand that as we go through this lesson. I'm starting to get more sentimental in my old age. And I asked Kathy, you know, Kathy, I asked her a couple of weeks ago, I said, can you start saving these thank you letters? We get so many of them. I appreciate people's gratitude, and I appreciate that they appreciate efforts of others. And can you start saving those? I'd like to read them when I get older, when I'm not able to serve anymore. I'd like to go back and read them. And to my amazement, she said, I've been keeping them. I've got them. We go back in my office, and I have a basket full of those things. And I'm just thinking, thank you. And I went back there, and I looked at them. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of thank you cards and notes that people had sent over the years. And I certainly appreciate that, and will appreciate those in the future as I go back and read them more and more. So today, my sermon is a thank you card to you. And also, in the midst of the elders giving a presentation next week, I think about looking forward, looking back, and I think it's good to reminisce. I think it's good to go back and to look at others whom you value in your life and what they've done for you. Kathy and I have been in this congregation for 30 years. We've seen a lot of changes over those 30 years, mostly good. People have moved in, people have moved away, people have died, and others have been born. And this church has made us who we are today. It has molded us, and for that we thank you. Let's turn over to Isaiah, chapter 43. In verse 25 and verse 26, verse 25, I, am he who blots out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. That just strikes me as being so odd. God asks us to put him in remembrance. Does he want us to do it for his sake? No, he wants us to do it for our sake. He wants us to remember his promises. And as we go to prayer and we verbalize those promises to him, it gives us strength and it strengthens us. But another unique statement is, let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. The Lord extends his grace and wants us to be saved. He wants us in the last day to be acquitted. In that day when he's a judge, he wants to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. So then I look around, I start thinking about witnesses. And I think about Hebrews 11. We all know that that's a chapter of faith. And then in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm thankful for this great cloud of witnesses that's set before me. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, he names those of the Old Testament. The preceding chapter 11, I won't go through all that, but he names people by name. Abel, Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And in verse 32, he goes on to say, among others, and the list is so innumerable, I just can't list them all. And I feel that way as well. That list is just so great, I can't name them all. But I do want to talk about a few this morning. Certainly we have zero heroes of faith, but within this very congregation, there are heroes of mine. People and persons that I admire for their achievements or the qualities that they have. Because someone else has, fill in the blank, accomplished something, I can. Because someone else has proven to me it can be done, I can do it. And those are my heroes. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. This congregation, if any one gift it has, the most obvious gift that comes to me is the willingness of this congregation to give. So I want to thank this congregation for their giving, for the attitude, for their willing heart. And in Acts 20, verse 35, there's a simple statement by Jesus at the end that says, it is more blessed to give than receive. And 3 years ago, Paul White was teaching a class, and he asked the class, give me an application, what does this mean to you? And I immediately thought, well, that's an easy answer. But then I tried to verbalize it, and I could not. And the rest of the class thought, and the wheels were turning, and we understood what it meant, we grasped it, but we could not verbalize it. And so I spent some time with this, and I want to help. I want to verbalize to you, and I want you to be able to verbalize it as well and understand what that means. It is more blessed to give than receive. We get it, but I want you to understand what it does for God and what it does for His creation and His kingdom. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 17. We're all familiar with this passage. It says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above and comes down for the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creation. That's why it's more blessed to give than receive. That we can become His first fruits. He has first given to us every good and perfect gift. And we continue the process, and in doing so, we become a first fruit back to Him. It all, in the end, becomes about glorification to God. And that's how the circle is completed. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 9 through 15. This has been modeled by us. This passage just sends a chill down my spine. I think about the church here at Cedar Park when I read this passage, and I want you to think about this church here, this group as well, about the giving and caring spirit that we have. In verse 9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might be rich. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage, not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it. That is, that there is a readiness, a desire to do it, that there also may be completion of what you have set out to do. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to him who has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there be no inequality. And it is written, He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little have no lack. I believe that's what this church personifies. I believe that's what we're here to do. I believe God has directed that. Also, we're not going to turn over there to Matthew 6, 31 through 32. It talks about all those things. Do not fear about tomorrow, about what will become of you, that God will take care of you, and he assures us that he will. But fear is a deterrent to our giving. If we fear about our sustainability on this earth, about our retirement, about us paying our bills, it will be a deterrent to our giving. And we will put ourselves in front of the need of others. And that's not taught. That's not what we're taught to do. We're taught that God supplies. You can go back to that verse that we originally looked at in Isaiah 43. Let's put God in remembrance. God, you promised to take care of me. God, I trust that you will take care of me. And because I know that and believe that, I will take care of others. So don't let fear be a deterrent to you. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Our giving makes God smile. Do you ever think about that? Let's read this passage. But I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In my margin, I've taken my Bible here. I've wrote a small smiley face, and I wrote a big smiley face. That small smiley face is me. When I give, God loves me because I give. That small smiley face is you. But the bigger smiley face is God. Can you imagine God loves us when we give? He loves a cheerful giver. That big smiley face is sitting there. That's God. He just loves it. Is there anything you love that doesn't bring a smile to your face? The big smiley face concept here. And what happens was, to understand what it means to, it's more blessed to give than receive, you take that same concept. When I give to someone, or you give to someone, you are now the big smiley face. And the person who is recipient is a small smiley face. You understand how that benefits you? You get the bigger joy. You understand it more. You fulfilled God's purpose. And that's what it means, is more blessed to give than receive. Psalms 116, verse 12, humbles us in our giving. What shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits he's given toward me? I can't pay him back. I have a debt I owe I cannot restore. What can I do? All I can do is try and ask him what he's asked me to do. And because they did, I can. Someone is my hero. They set an example for me. They got it. 2 Corinthians again, 12, 14 through 15. Now for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdened to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend to be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I love this terminology, spend and be spent. I have heroes in this congregation that have spend and be spent. You parents get it. You love your children. It seems like the more you love them, the more you do for them. Sometimes the less you feel loved. Sometimes we work so hard for people, it seems like we care more about them than they do. And we don't feel the love back. And that wears on people. That's why Paul felt spent. Because people wore him out. And people dedicate their lives and are spent and have been spent for this congregation. for over 20 years, each at differing times. I hope I get these numbers pretty close. Forgive me. I had about a day to prepare for this lesson, so some of my numbers are just there. John Combs, thank you. Mike Benson, thank you. John Smith, thank you. You're leaving heroes of mine. You know what it is. You know the meaning of it's more blessed to give than receive. You know what it means. You know what it is to work hard and have sleepless nights. You know what it is to be spent. You know what it is to not be loved sometimes. You know exhaustion. You know, I don't mean this to be crass, but these men are high mileage vehicles. You know there's got some miles on them. But there's yet work to be done. We'll look at some of that work yet they have to do and turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. You know what they still have to do? They still have to give an account for you. They still have to give an account for you, even though they're no longer serving. Is there any among us that need to make amends with these men? We still have an opportunity, and certainly you want it to be profitable for you in that day. Let me paint a scene for you. Looking back at Isaiah, I start to think about God's promise. I'm going to go back and read that again. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Do you not think that every one of these men want to be a representative of good for you in that day when they have to answer and give the account, that they want to stand before the Lord and they want to defend you with all their might? That they want to contend your case so you'll be acquitted. And ultimately, you know, it's God's grace that's going to let us in. It's not going to be somebody's arguments that get us there. But they're willing to put themselves out, and they're willing to do this. Thank you, men. And thank you, Pat Combs, Charlotte Smith, and Connie Benson, for standing by these men. There's also heroes of mine, some in the Bible, some here, that think bigger. And because they did, I can. I think of Matthew 25 and verses 20 through 23, particularly you talk about the men have been given some talents. Two of those men were given talents, and they multiplied them. I thank them because they did, I can. And because they did, you can. I think of Nehemiah. We've been studying this in the class, and we just wrapped this up. Some very interesting thing that I had just discovered about Nehemiah. As he was working for the most influential man in the world, King Artaxerxes at that time, who controlled most of the known world. And he was the most trusted man in his army. He was his cupbearer. He tasted his food and his drink before he did to taste that it wasn't poisoned so that the king would be honored and the king would live forever. He had it, if you will, he had it all. He had risen to the top. If you think about climbing a ladder and being to the top, he could go no higher. At least he thought he couldn't, until he started his encore career, if you will, and went places that he would have never imagined. And he rebuilt cities and rebuilt people and took God's word further than he thought he would ever be responsible for or do. And because Nehemiah did, I can. He is a hero of mine. Another man, brother, said here, Billy's been to us, talked to us recently about our efforts in India that we want to talk about. And he's a hero of mine because he's had generational impacts. Because he did something, his son did something, his grandson did something, and continue to spread the gospel and continue to teach others. And we think about 2 Timothy 2 and the process of people being taught and God's word continuing on and on and on. And because he did, I can. He had forethought. He thought big. He had a great impact. He took his own money and built a building that would house 200 orphans, that would feed 200 orphans, that would educate 200 orphans, and a place for the scriptures and the spirit to be filled and for the work. He was driven by James 1:27 to understand what that meant to him. But what he did, he thought big enough to build that building and pay for that building with his own funds, but he donated it into perpetuity that would always be for that cause. How many of us can think that big? Sometimes all we just think about is tomorrow. Sometimes we really need to be thinking generationally, way out in front of us. And I know there are a few men here that have been thinking that way, and I applaud that and thank you for doing so. Jim Everett is my hero. He's had generational impacts. He's had global ambitions. And is that not what this church is about right now? Is that not what we do best right now? We can do better. But he lit that match. He started that fire burning. He passed it on to others. And how he's allowed us to take that flame and set that afire. And what he did was only the beginning. But only God knows what the conclusion will be. The other people that have put faith to their feet. James 1, verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted for the world. I've looked at this for many times and been taught growing up that this doesn't exist anymore. There's no need for orphanages. The children are taken care of, which is just a lie. I was taught that in church, in my Bible classes. That's a lie. There is a need. And God has brought that need to us and expressed that need to us and showed us that need. But I'm willing to write a check. But that's not what the verse says. It says to visit orphans and widows. I don't like to travel. I'm a homebody. I've never been gone for more than a week from my home. I'm not comfortable doing that. But because others have put faith to their feet, I can. People have traveled abroad into foreign fields. Thank you, Jim Everett, Travis Everett, Carson Everett, Jimmy Griffith, Ryan Griffith, Paul White, Caleb White, Travis Starling, John Smith, Brian Tacker, Tammy Tacker, Craig Hecht, Steve Turquette, Jason Standard, Brett Cox, Cody Cox, Ben Taylor. These are people I would call influencers. And we hear a lot of that word lately about role models that's changed from road models to influencers. These people are influencers. Thank you. Lord willing, Derek Anderson, Skylar Meek, and myself will be traveling in the next few months to visit foreign fields. And because you have, we can. And we thank you. There are a lot of heroes simply are heroes because they don't quit and they won't quit. And I want to thank them. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and you have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I shall not go down into the pit. I spent some time, and you'd be amazed how many people in this congregation who've been in a pit, but they have not let them get it down. They have been an inspiration to me and they are heroes of mine. Terry Ryan, David Smith, Stephanie Adair and her family, Richard and Sarah Archer, Mike and Connie Benson, Debbie and Greg Boatwright, Bruce Clark, Ashley Combs, Dorothy Covington, Margaret Everett, Joseph and Sheila Finch, Tristan Floyd, Patrick Elise Gone and Family, Brenda Hall, Judy Hecht, Harless Michelle Hetzel, Sylvia Hernandez, Sheba Johnson, Philip Lauderdale, Eloto Liafa, Danny, Debbie, Scott or Meek. They've been to the bottom. Gary and Sherry Richards, Leslie Rogers, Crystal Ben, Daniel Smith, Mary Smith, Suzanne Tennant, Mickey Taylor, Steve, Jennifer, Turquette, and the family. They're in the pit. Lance Van Voorhis, Dale Weatherford, Tom Weatherford, Lana White, Bertha Wirtz, Michelle, Jake Wolf. Thank all of you for keeping on, keeping on. It helps me. You're my heroes. Because you cared enough to correct. Thank you. You look at the Matthew 18 concept about someone who sinned, going to that person and talking it through, challenging. That passage we looked at in Isaiah about contending. Some people have contended with me before. This is probably not a surprise, but I'm going to state the obvious. I value my own opinion highly. Anybody else got an opinion? I think mine's at least as good or better than yours. But thank you to those who had the strength to question me and to give me some time to chew on it. Thank you, Kathy. The ladies in my family, Christina and Ashley, and Brett and Cody, thank you for challenging me. Paul White and Amy White, Jimmy Griffith and Brian Tacker, and every elder that I've worked with, for every deacon that I've worked with. As many of you know, and I'm not going to list these names, but there's a dozen plus that work with me on a daily basis. Thank you for challenging me. Thank you for being there for me. Sometimes I do get it wrong. Thank you enough for caring. One more thank you to those who allow me to lead. Because you allow it, I can. I'm getting older, like I said, more sentimental. I'm in that stage of my life where I want to mentor. I want to turn things over. I want the next generation to come up and to fight and to arise and be there. Lord willing, I want to spend a few years preparing to accomplish that goal. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. And I can't preach a lesson without going to this passage. Every time I do, it's my favorite passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Thank you for letting it be about you. Thank you for letting me understand what it means that it's more blessed to give than receive. I'm thinking about mentorship. I'm thinking about legacy. I'm trying to think bigger. I'm trying to think beyond this life. But I want to prepare this congregation, and thank you for allowing me to do that. One more thing. In Matthew 25, we alluded to this earlier, about the parable of talents, but in verse 29, it says, For to everyone who more will be given, and he will have abundance. I certainly have more. As I look around this cloud of witnesses, I certainly have abundance and people and God's people and his church here at Cedar Park, and I am so blessed. With all those, again, that I continue to work on with a daily basis in our careers as we work together, thank you for letting me lead you. And again, I hope to do this for the next few years. Thank you, congregation, for allowing me to serve you. And we go back to the passage where we started in Hebrews. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we have such a surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and a sin and run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Because he did, we can. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. Are those here in your life that are heroes to you, that are Christians, that have you fill in the blank so you can? They've modeled to you so you can. They've taught to you so you can. They care about you, and it's about you. And it's not about them anymore. They're thinking about you. What can they do for you? Will you let them lead you? Will you let them show you? Will you let them model to you? And will you accept the baton that will be passed on to you to run that race? If there's any here that need to come forward and have the prayers of the saints, or any that want to come to God and be baptized and to start that path with him and to become a hero for someone else, please come forward now as we stand and sing.
From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?